You're listening to the Multifamily Innovation Show with Patrick Antrim, your source for innovative strategies for multifamily professionals, CEOs, executive leaders, and aspiring leaders that want to drive high-performance results for their property or portfolio.
All right, so welcome back. So we are sitting down with Conrad Kozwar. He's the CEO and founder of Elevated Living. We are spending time with our partners. He's in our studio today. Happy to have him in. We're doing some great work with the Multifamily Innovation Council, looking at the challenges, road mapping the challenges and the priorities of organizations. And so with that, part of the council is we spend time with our partners who are solving those problems. And we get to know a little bit about what they're working on, maybe a little bit about the founder story and what they're doing to make impact in multifamily. So Conrad, welcome in.
Thanks for having me, Patrick. Pleasure to be here in sunny Scottsdale.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, what I'd love to do is just kind of back things up for our listeners and talk a little bit about maybe the genesis of Elevated Living. Like, how did you think of the idea? How did the company become? Because it seems like you guys are on a trajectory of growth, and that's exciting. I think people should know where that started from.
Yeah, so it all started back in 2014. So I was actually in graduate school, and I was completing my doctorate degree in a super random profession. Nobody's going to guess, physical therapy. Mm. So I liked working out. I liked sports. My parents wanted me to be a lawyer or a doctor. I didn't want to go to school for 10 years for an MD, so I said, great, I'll get my doctorate in physical therapy. It's the next best thing. And, you know, I was always like into technology. So, you know, back in the day when I was younger, I was one of those hackers that would play video games. I knew how to hack, you know, and do all types of stuff on the computers. And, you know, so I had this like tech background where my original idea, you know, was, you know, what can I do while I'm in grad school full time to make some extra money? Right. And I came up with an idea that was all website SEO, kind of Google AdWords based, where we would become the number one ranked website for in-home fitness, in-home training. So this was in Chicago. And, you know, Chicago's a pretty big city. And, you know, originally the plan was to focus on the suburbs because I grew up in the suburbs, but I started getting calls from downtown. And within 6 months, I had so much interest from property managers. They were reaching out to me. They were like, who are you guys? We see you guys with your t-shirts all over our buildings, right? And these buildings had gyms, which I had no idea about. So I was like a true outsider to multifamily. Like, I had no idea what was going on. You know, did that for 2 years. Within those 2 years, we probably had over 100 buildings that we were running their gyms. Right. So they were using us as like an amenity for the property. Mm. And that's when I realized there's a problem. So like during like, again, 2014, 2016, 2017, I saw a huge influx of prop tech. And even though our business at the time was services, it was kind of a tech business. I was sub-licensing a software to run the gym in the building. So residents, when they move in and they wanted to take advantage of all these nice kind of wellness amenities, they would have to log in to my software.
Sure.
And I realized, I'm like, wow, there's a dry cleaning company. There's housekeeping. There's all these other things like access control, hardware. And all of them are doing the exact same thing with me, but in a different vertical, right? Mm-hmm. And I always like to put myself in the shoes of a landlord. And I always, the way I thought about it was, if I'm a landlord, I don't have any access to any of this data, number one. So I have no idea who's coming to my building, what my residents are spending money on, because I'm giving it all away to these random one-off companies, right? So that was number one. Number two, you know, how many apps? So I was a resident of a building, right? I became a resident of a few buildings downtown. And every building I moved into, there was at least 5 up to 15 different portals or websites that I had to create an account on being promoted all the time, right? And I thought this is not sustainable from a management standpoint, for a management company, right? Like, they have systems. You got to run the same playbook.
Sure.
Across, you know, if you have, you know, 300 buildings, you got to run the same playbook in every single city. You know, it might change a little bit, but you got to run the same playbook. And if you have, you know, 15 different vendors, you know, in each different market,
right?
It gets crazy. So that's where, you know, Elevated Living came about I started talking with managers. And probably, again, like since I started, I always wanted to learn more about how they run their business. So for 4 years, I was basically learning their back end, back office. So I learned about Yardi, Jada, RealPage, learned about everything they were using. And I learned that it's just very inefficient. And we decided we could do it better. And Elevated Living started building that 2018. Lucky that we were able to bootstrap the business. We had funds from our first business, which was... Fitness is a good business. People don't think it is, but it is. So we were able to bootstrap that business. We launched the platform, our kind of first version of Elevated Living, in 2019. So we've been, you know, going strong now for about 5 years. 39 states, over 600 buildings, and over, I would say, 325 markets, cities.
That's really incredible. You know, let's talk and lean into that ecosystem because, as you mentioned there, when you were first coming in and identifying the opportunity, you mentioned you were running the gyms and you had some software going into that. I always think of like even the self-driving car, there's still the steering wheel right now. Eventually, that may not even be needed, right? Yep. So there's this phasing in of how things work. I'd love to hear what you think about fitness centers and gyms and things like that in the long term. But before I get to that, let's talk about this ecosystem because it sounds like you're tackling the friction problem for the resident itself, the customer, also the operation, the ability to scale and systemize and run your business, and then ultimately having access to your own data or value that can be unlocked with that. But take me through your ecosystem. What's that?
Yeah.
How does that play out?
What I look at with my team, we basically try to do two things. We have two kind of methods that we implement right now, and it's always going to be these two things. There's never really a third. So we look at what solutions out there right now are only solving for one or two problems that force either, you know, A, the resident to download an app, B, the management team, or B or C, both, right? So, you know, if that's happening, that's a really ripe vertical to go after and add that as a feature of our platform, right? Mm-hmm. So we've done that. So for example, I'll give you a really good example. Parking, valet systems, maintenance, inspections. Let's maybe go with valet. I had a really, really recent example of this. I had a client of mine, big ownership group developer. They have a lot of buildings kind of all over, but in Houston and Dallas, they have probably 10 buildings that all have a valet system they were using to manage their valet company. And this system, you know, it was pretty outdated. You know, it was like Windows 98.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the company that was running this, it was costing probably $400 a month per location to run this really dated software.
Right.
So they came to me and said, hey, you know, none of our data syncs from Entrada. We don't pull the license plates. Everything's manual. We don't have data back through this system. Can you guys build us? We're already using your apps in all of our buildings. Can you guys build us a valet management system that's going to solve, you know, these three problems,
right?
So we analyzed it, figured out how it needed to work, and we built it. And, you know, overnight, you know, they eliminated that solution, right? And now it became a feature of our platform. And there's a lot of other stories like that. The second way we do it though, right? So that was the first way. The second way we do it is we integrate a lot of systems. So for example, access control, thermostats, water leak detectors. We don't want to build the hardware, right? Like I don't want to get into the hardware business. But what I do want to do is I want to be able, like I have a client that has, whether they build buildings or a good example is a client who buys buildings. So if you, Patrick, you buy buildings every month, there's a new building you're buying.
Mm-hmm.
One's on the East Coast, one's on the West Coast. Each of those buildings had different construction teams, low voltage teams. They implemented probably different hardware, right? They implemented different package lockers. They might have put different solutions for the entry into the building, like video intercom systems, common area access, and then unit level access. So if one building, and I'll, you know, give a shout out to some of the companies we work with, but, you know, if one building has Butterfly MX as a video intercom and another one has let's just say, you know, Comlet, right? And then for unit level locks, they have Dormakaba or Salto. I come in, I create a white labeled app. So if you're a resident living at Luxury Tower, your app is called Luxury Tower. And those access control, kind of the front end for the resident, works exactly the same in both buildings, right? And that's the beauty, I think, of the integration part of it. We want to be Switzerland. We don't want to build our own hardware because that's a lot of work. There's already so many good companies that do it, and they're open architecture.
They are open.
You can plug them in. You know, you can make your own app and connect all these hardware companies.
I love to see that. I mean, I love to see that trend, and it's exciting because, you know, as you mentioned, the custom build now becomes almost like now productized, where now that one company has solved this, now you can scale that as your own brand, right, to offer that to other applications. And you mentioned the hardware companies are welcoming, I think, right, to the APIs and opening
Most are. I would say like out of 10, 9 out of 10 are realizing that it's actually beneficial to be open platform. You know, there's stories I can tell you about, you know, there's certain companies that weren't open for like 2-3 years. And then like a lot of developers, you know, you spend money to outfit 300 units in an apartment, and all of a sudden you're finding out that they're not willing to, you know, open up their API.
Yeah, it's a real problem.
So they had a lot of pushback from developers and owners, and some owners even said they're going to never use this vendor again. And they ended up changing their mind, you know. So I saw the whole thing happen, you know, 2.5 years, but they did change their mind and they opened up their API.
And in terms of the white label, that's impressive because you have the branding aspect. You're giving control of the experience to your customer, the property, right?
Yeah.
And that helps with the you know, not having confused customers and remembering all these different things. Because, I mean, you know, you look at your own phone and there's just searching for the app. I have apps that I don't realize I even had in there, you know.
I actually have a lot of data on branded versus non-branded. Mm-hmm. So, you know, before Elevated Living was Elevated Living, you know, I was doing the gyms. And, you know, our kind of first version of the app, when we first went live, it was basically trying to figure out how can we support our existing business without having to cut off our clients that we're already live in with this fitness stuff. So, you know, that's how we decided to do white labeled and not, you know, non-branded. And, you know, we gave the clients the option to upgrade to the white labeled, right? And some clients kept it. Some clients ended up going with our freemium, I call it, like legacy, right?
Sure.
So nobody really uses our Elevated Living app, right? But we had to do it for some clients who didn't want the white labeled one.
Sure.
And the differences were drastic. Like people, when they move into a building and, you know, they already committed, they signed a lease to like building name, right? Mm-hmm. And when you tell them, hey, go into the app store and download the Jumbo Jimbo app, whatever the name is, right?
Right.
They're like, do I really need this app? Versus if it's the name of the building.
They're part of the experience.
Yeah, they're much more open to doing it. And the numbers are, like, I would say there's probably a 60% higher chance that someone will download a white-labeled app versus if it's unbranded and just a random name in the app store.
Yeah. And how important is that? What services do they get to in doing that, like with Elevated Living? What are the services?
So right now, you know, we have a lot of like kind of back office operations. So, you know, we have a maintenance tool for residents to submit, back office for maintenance to control. We have inspections built in for residents and for due diligence and property inspections. Mm. We have amenity reservations for hourly rentals, daily rentals, or rentable items like storage lockers. We have, of course, we have integrations with the thermostats, the access control, package lockers. But for the fun stuff, I like talking about the fun stuff. That's like the back office. The fun stuff, you know, we have interest groups. So if you move into a building, you know, and let's just say you don't know anybody, you move to a new city and you're trying to meet new people. You moved into a brand new building. It's luxury. It's super nice. How do you meet people, right? So we have something called interest groups where from day one, if you have a dog, you could join the pet owners group. Or, you know, some buildings have pickleball. You know, it's hot now. Everybody's
hiking, biking. I mean, all.
Yeah, so you can create a pickle. You can. I can go in and say, I like playing pickleball. I'm going to create a pickleball.
Do the residents do it, or is it?
Yeah, and okay. The manager can approve it. So obviously, there's some control. It's like you can't
right
your own yeah. crazy group name, right? Like, so the interest groups are super fun. We have something called Neighborhood Perks, which we help put together, which is our like partnerships with local businesses, so coffee shops, restaurants. Hey, if you live at building name, you get a discount to this coffee shop across the street. Mm. So there's something like that. And then, of course, the most popular thing I would say that we're known for is the on-site services. So we basically built Uber inside a property management software. So a resident, when they move in, right, for example, they can book a TV mounting or someone to come help them assemble the furniture. They can book a housekeeper.
This is interesting.
A trainer. So, you know, my old business, right? Trainer at the gym, a nutritionist. You know, so there's services that we run as Elevated Living. And there's also services that we partner with as like third-party services. So things like junk removal, moving companies. We have some cities that we work with have a mobile car detailing that comes to the building. In California, we have, if you want to get tan, and they'll come and spray tan you to your apartment. Mm. So every market's different, what we have in terms of like third-party services. But we basically, imagine we built like an Uber inside of our property management software. And then sure. we have full control over what's implemented and the customer support part of it. So landlords, they don't have to do anything. They can be hands-off. We cut them a revenue share check every month. For every booking that happens in their property, they can see all the data. They can see that Susie likes massages every Monday at 10 a.m. They can see that, we just added a cool one. We just added, so this is like a brand new release. So I don't have too much data on it, but we can do grocery delivery through our app and food ordering through our app. Mm.
Is this new? Like
brand new. Just released in April.
Okay.
And it's basically like DoorDash. Functions the same exact way, except you don't have to change your address. It already knows your address, and the fees are less. DoorDash charges about 18 to 20% fees. We're charging 10% fees. And it's kind of cool because you can see like Conrad likes to order ice creams at 10 p.m. at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's cool.
Tacos
it's
and kinda, taquitos. And
it gives, I think, a lot of insight into like what residents like.
Yeah.
You know, just this morning, as I was flying here, I saw one of my clients, you know, post on LinkedIn about renewal gifts, like what ideas for renewal gifts. And
They're guessing at this point
until you know what they like, right? So if you see that they like massage
or events,
taco
trucks, yeah. You know, things like that.
Like that's, I think, like the true benefit of our platform is like because it's all in one, residents are in our app. So often they're cross-using different features of the app versus if you had three different apps at all, divide those let's just say 30 features, right, across three apps. You have 10 in each. You're kind of splitting the time versus if you have 30 in one, people, they go in the app, they want to sign up for an event. Great. They sign up and then, I could book groceries? Oh, that's amazing. And then now they book groceries. So they're... More you
spend. And they tell friends about this really cool thing. So you're talking about
the events, like, you know, the events are great too, because what we do with events is we like to let people see who's coming. Like we don't say the full last name, but we say like, you know, Conrad K, and you know, it creates a FOMO effect because, you know, I'll sign up for the wine tasting event in my building. And all of a sudden everybody else is like, oh, Conrad's going, oh, I know Conrad. Or, you know what I mean? It's like a nice, FOMO.
Right? Sure. That's really interesting. I mean, you know, I've always been talking about sort of this aggregate purchasing power of the customer, and you've really tied it to creating a better experience for the customer, like intel and data around even, like you mentioned, renewal gifts or incentives or events you want to produce, just knowing how people share their time, you know, and the idea of at our Multifamily Innovation and AI Summit, we're bringing in NVIDIA to talk and all sorts
CEO?
Of not yet.
I want to meet him.
Yeah, well, I'm on a mission. I would say he's busy, right? Yep. But we've been talking to their global head of spaces, and they really look at cities and spaces. And in this case, I mean, this is apartments are spaces, of course. And through like when you have a Tesla and that product is shipped, the digital twin of how the vehicle is, like how it's used, they have intel that other automakers don't have, like how the customer's actually using the product,
right?
So they can innovate and think about new things and stuff like that. And so in some ways, you're doing that from an experience standpoint. You know, after someone moves in, we really don't know much about what's going on and what they're interested in. Not that we want to get into too close to that stuff, but to make the experience better, that's very interesting. And then what the marketplace, when you said like an Uber with the, you know, junk removal or services, that's really interesting because now you're unlocking, like the customers, if they're spending a third of their income on rent, like they're spending money in your building other places. So you're kind of bringing in the aggregate purchasing power of the customer with, I think you mentioned a rev share. That's pretty interesting. I'm sure people would want to talk through that with you individually. But also what I think there is, if you're increasing the purchasing power of the customer, mm-hmm. which means if you think about, you mentioned you have the option to use the Elevated Living or the branded app or DoorDash, there it's going to be more effective, more efficient, right? So now you're giving your customer more income to service the rent and all that kind of stuff. And so I really didn't know that, you know.
Well,
we're here to talk about
I know, right?
Yeah. How are people responding to that? I mean, you mentioned this is an early thing, like April, but I'm sure that's
the end of the first week of April.
Yeah.
So we're like 2 weeks, well, not even 2 weeks in.
Yeah.
But it's responding.
Yeah.
And, the best part about this one is that, you know, unlike the other ones, like we are involved in some of the scheduling and managing with the like housekeeping and cause we want to make sure that we don't get a black eye, right? Cause we do so many things like if someone has a bad experience with a housekeeper, right? That could affect our app, right? Theoretically, right? So there's a lot of things we keep an eye on. We don't want to get a black eye in any of our verticals that we're in.
Sure.
Right? We want to make sure we're doing a good job. But with this one, it's actually pretty nice because like we built it in a way where it's fully automated. And, you know, the customer support, we figured out a way to automate. People can see their delivery driver on a map as they're coming. Yeah. It's very similar to DoorDash, right? So I can probably get you some data at the end of this month.
Sure.
Because I'm waiting for it myself, but we have seen bookings coming in.
Well, we'll give you a few months to talk about that data.
Yeah.
You have till December.
Very good.
Yeah. That's really interesting. And I always want to ask, like, where do the ideas come from? Because you're creeping into value creation. Is it just because you're spending time with customers?
Yeah. So a lot of people always say, you know, they say, you don't want to be like in the business, right? As a CEO or founder. And I agree with that. You know, there's certain things you shouldn't be doing. You know, when it comes to sales calls, like demos, I think those are things that someone who's, you know, in charge of product should know what's going on. When you jump on a call with a
prospect, where they're leaning in, where they're pushing back.
What are they interested in, right? If you have a product team and then you have a sales team and they don't talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem. And, you know, for me, I like to jump on, I still have my team that does the calls, but I like to jump on the call and I like to understand what are the problems they're trying to solve.
Mm.
You know, even our customers right now, like, you know, we have a feature request section. So when you go on a back end dashboard, you know, you could submit a support ticket, but one of the things I like, which it basically guides our roadmap,
mm-hmm.
is feature requests. So, you know, someone could submit a feature request on the back end, it comes in, we can figure out, you know, the 10 other people ask for the same thing, right? And then we create a roadmap based off of what people are asking for,
mm-hmm.
In terms of features. But the one thing that I will tell you about, like the services, like offering stuff to residents, is you have to be careful with what you offer. So, it's very easy to say, let's offer everything, right? And I think most companies that, you know, want to maximize like their revenue, I would say, like that's what they would do.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be careful. Like, look at Groupon came out swinging, you know, many, many years ago. And it was good. I used it, but then it became like too much. It was too much stuff and people stopped using it. And, you know, you got to always think about if I was a resident or if Patrick was a resident, would this make his life easier? Would this be an amenity for him? You know, is this something that would either save him time, save him money? That's what we like to look at, because it's easy. Like, I get solicitations all the time from vendors. Hey, we want to be, you know, on your platform. And you got to figure out like what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. Because if you put stuff that doesn't make sense, it's going to devalue all the things that do make sense. So that's like a very important thing that we follow.
Yeah. I love that. And, you know, as you think about, you just mentioned the April, the new marketplace or Uber for this experience. What are you thinking about, what's next, or is that coming from the roadmap and uploading? And
I have something that's next, but I can't announce it yet.
Yeah.
But we have something that, you know, so interest rates are high. Mm-hmm. Owners are trying to figure out how to make more money. Mm-hmm. And we came up with something that we're going to be releasing in the next 2 to 3 months. Mm-hmm. That is very interesting, actually, where they're going to be able to monetize their spaces, mm-hmm. right? In a way where they haven't been able to do that before.
Okay.
And so that's kind of our, you know, secret thing we're working on right now.
Sure.
And trying to bring it to life.
We'll have to follow you for that.
Make an announcement.
We'll make on LinkedIn. Yeah, make an announcement on LinkedIn and see what's happening there. Take me through the process of becoming a customer. What's that look like? Someone's listening right now. They're like, this sounds very interesting. How's that work for them?
Yeah. So, you know, first things first, like we want to jump on a call, understand what the problem is, what problems you're trying to solve. You know, and sometimes people have very simple problems. Sometimes they say, oh, we had a lady the other day that said, I need someone to run our pet concierge program. Right. I'm like, well, we have this whole app that does a lot more things. But we ended up signing her up for the whole app because she came in wanting the pet concierge program. We signed up the whole platform. We got the regional got involved. Mm. Regional's like, this is amazing. We want this in other properties, right? So they came in wanting the pet concierge, ended up doing the whole app. But in general, like once we figure out what the problem is, and again, some clients want an all-in-one app. Some clients only want three pieces solved. What we'll do is we'll, you know, put together a proposal, pricing. You know, if we have to integrate things, so they might say, hey, we submit like a new community questionnaire. Mm. Well, they'll tell us like what access control to use for common areas, you know, unit level access, package lockers, and we'll come together, put together a proposal. Once that's signed, usually we can go live within 14 to 30 days. Mm. So we're limited by the white labeling. That's mm-hmm. the honest truth. Like if we didn't white label, you could let's just say hypothetically, if we use the Elevated Living app, I can go live tomorrow. Mm-hmm. As long as we do training and onboarding, we're good. And then we connect with the RD and all that. But the white labeling takes some time. So we have to get an app. We have to design the app, right? It has to be, the client has to approve it.
Sure.
They want to, you know, because they have their icon, the app icon on their phone,
colors,
right?
And all that,
loading screen, the registration screen, right? So there's a lot of things there. Once we get that.
I mean, there's a lot of value you're creating right there because, I mean, you're basically building them an app.
Yeah. Yeah. But I have, you know, I have some clients where, for example, because you could white label a few ways. You could white label per community. You can white label per neighborhood. So if someone has like mixed use assets, or if they have like three buildings that are like the same name in a neighborhood, or you could white label per your management brand or ownership brand. So I have a few clients where, you know, they labeled it the third way, the ownership brand. So they'll have like a building called like, let's call it Brand Chicago, Brand Dallas, Brand Houston. Mm-hmm. So they have buildings in each city that always have the same start,
sure.
first word. So we have an app called like, you know, Brand Living. And, you know, those types of clients, we can go live, you know, tomorrow, you know, mm-hmm. 2 days. So if they take over a building, if they have to sell a building, nothing changes. We use the same app for 30, 40 properties. Mm-hmm. So I like that way.
Yeah.
Smart, because you're building a brand if you do it that way. You know, you can also brand per community, but you know, if you have 100 communities, all have different names, it's a lot of work for the marketing team. You know, imagine you just had the same name, but just the city.
Right.
It's so much easier for marketing.
Right. Yeah. And there's a lot of value in that. And especially for the portfolio companies. How do you, or let's go back to the products or maybe it's services. Take me through the range of things that are in there in the app.
Or services.
Yeah.
Like on-site services. Yeah. So we have housekeeping. We have chores.
Chores?
Yeah.
What? So, tell me more.
So residents can...
you can give them chores? Or
yeah, like you can they can request chores to get done. So maybe they need their laundry done.
Mm.
Or maybe they need, you know, dry cleaning picked up. So, you know, that's our kind of our home services section. So handyman. Handyman, you know, it's actually pretty interesting. Like I love, so I,
you know, I start to imagine like in the, like somebody that's, I mean, as you're telling me, I'm like, this sounds awesome. Right. So, somebody looking for an apartment, I almost feel like they would be like, do they have this app before I even consider?
People do. They do ask.
Yeah.
Oh, I know 100%. And I know that the leasing teams that I work with, that's their pitch. They're going through the building. They're showing their white labeled app. They're talking about the interest groups. They're talking about, here's our pet spa. Did you know we have a dog groomer that comes on site? You could book it through our app. Here's our fitness center. You get a free one-on-one personal training session as a new resident, because that's what we offer. We offer a one-on-one free trial, essentially, with a trainer. You know, here's our, you know, for example, like here's the apartment. Well, we have a handyman that can mount your TV for you. These are all talking points they do on the tour. 100%. I know that because we train them that way. And a lot of the marketing directors of these property management companies, they love it. They're the ones that also like once we step away and do onboarding and like kind of tell them, they kind of implement that in their playbook for like new buildings. Right. But going back to their services, so home services, we have housekeeping, chores, handyman services.
Mm-hmm.
We have, on the wellness side, we have virtual coaching, we have on-site personal training, we have nutrition counseling, and we have massage therapy. We have, for pets, we have dog walking, cat visits, dog grooming, and then in certain cities, we have dog training, so we can train your dog. And then, so those are the ones that we kind of oversee as Elevated Living, right?
That's remarkable.
Yeah.
And so where do people push back on this? I mean, it feels like you mentioned you're in 39 states. Yeah.
So,
customer, obviously good growth.
Customer.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. So I'm on these calls, and I, you know, especially when you're talking with like someone at corporate, super high up.
Sure.
You know, where you're talking about like a portfolio, like you're going to get asked every single question, right? And the biggest things they push back.
Are some of these the wrong questions to be asking?
They're worried, you know, they're worried about liability. What if someone, you know, steals something? What if something happens? What, you know, because people are coming on site. And, you know, number one, you know, we have very strict vetting processes. So we do background checks. We, you know, we interview a lot of these candidates, especially for the stuff that we're doing. You know, we make sure that they have insurance policies, you know, effective. Just we have a master policy, but we also make sure we created our own back office insurance management system on the back end where it alerts us when someone's insurance is expiring. So, you know, we'll make that vendor, we'll say, hey, you can't work until you give us a new policy. So, you know, we have a lot of stuff on the back end that we do, but we also like we indemnify the owner, right? So if something, it's us running the services, it's not them doing it. So if something does happen, like why should they be responsible?
These services are coming on anyway.
Yeah. But
right?
Like, the problem is that like the way sometimes, again, people shouldn't think like this, in my opinion, but sometimes people say, well, it's our white labeled app, right? So it looks like it's our services. And the way to think about it is, no, it's your white-labeled app that has integrated Elevated Living services. It happens to be the same company that runs the app. But, you know, if we didn't do it, someone else could, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where, you know, we
could— Education.
A little. Yeah, and that's what we do. And, you know, we, like, our goal— I always tell— here's one of my biggest, best responses, right? And it's true. You know, one, I don't want to get a black eye. I don't want to give someone else a black eye because we mess up or we don't do our job. But the biggest thing is a lot of these services, if you think about it, are reoccurring. You know, they are reoccurring in nature. You get a personal trainer twice a week. You get a dog walker 5 times a week. Mm-hmm. You get a housekeeper every 2 weeks, right? So a lot of these services are reoccurring. So the revenue in a building doesn't really fluctuate. Like once we get going at a building, it's up there. It stays up there. It might fluctuate like, you know, 10%.
Yeah, maybe once a month, move-in stuff.
Pretty much the same. And what's interesting is that our goal is to have a long-term relationship with the residents. We're not trying to do a one-time sell somebody snake oil and never see them again. We want to have an ongoing relationship. So that, like for an owner, when I explain it that way, they're like, oh, you're right. That makes sense. So, you know, if
the alignment's there.
Yeah, too, there's right? If there's an issue, right? And someone says, oh, you know, you guys did this or didn't clean my apartment all the way, we'll refund it. You know, we'll give them a credit on the next one. We don't want to lose that customer. We want to make sure they're happy. So, you know, our goal is to have a long-term relationship with the building, but also the residents of the building and have, because whatever we do, we understand that us doing something could affect them, the renewal, right? So that's very important to me and to Elevate Living.
Yeah. And what values are you leading by? Like, I mean, like what's important to you? I mean, you just mentioned a few things that I would suspect align with a lot of the company's expectations around resident service and sometimes probably in a more concierge and customer service way than the apartments themselves, because they can't give a refund on their rent and things like that. But whereas you're stepping forward and really touching on those points, saying like, it's going to get done. It's going to be right. And if not, we'll make it right. And if, yeah, we're not going to let one service get in the way, but we want you there.
Yeah. Cause that
along the journey,
that same person might book other services. Right.
So as a leader, like what, yeah. how do you guide that?
So what I'm anybody that knows me personally, I'm a yes man. And, you know, if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. I don't like to say over promise, under deliver. I like to do the opposite, right? So I expect my team the same way, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I like to hire people that have the same type of mindset. Mm-hmm. For example, we're on an onboarding call, right? Onboarding a brand new customer. And the customer, you know, And I just had a session with one of my employees about this. The customer says, can your app do this? Whatever this is, right? And the way I think about it is I think, well, is that something that will be helpful to other people, right? Mm-hmm. Two, is it hard to do? Let's talk with our CTO and get back to this client and come back with an explanation. And, you know, that's what I do. Right? That's my way of thinking versus, you know, I had somebody on my team where they were talking to a client. The client said, can your app do this? No. And that was it. Right. So to me, I don't like that.
Right.
Right. And, you know, I try to teach my team that, you know, you want to try to make it happen for the customer. If it becomes, you know, impossible, then, you know, then we can say no. Right. But if it's something that's reasonable and it's not going to take long for us to do, right? Or, you know, if it's going to help other customers, then you can't just say no. You got to say, let us look into it and actually look into it, right? So, and that applies to, you know, services. It applies to everything that we do, you know, because you don't want to tell a customer, no, it's not possible, right? All the features that we have, like even access control, we only had... In the beginning, we had no access control, right? Integrations. Then we had a customer that said, hey, can you guys integrate our Dormakaba locks? We're like, let's look into it.
Yeah, tell me more.
Looked into it. We made it happen 3 months later.
And then to your point, it's valuable to other customers.
And then we had other customers that wanted Dormakaba locks. You know, then we had another customer that were, you know, it was a prospect call and they're like, we'll sign up with you guys, but you need to integrate, you know, Salto or, you know, Butterfly, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, okay, great. In the contract, let's put it in there. By the time we start, we'll have this for you, right? And we did. right? So it was one of those things where there's things we don't have, but you gotta, like, if you want to be a, I think this goes for any business. If you want to be relevant, you got to keep innovating. You can't just turn on, okay, our platform is going to be legacy now. We're not going to add any more features. That's kind of what happened with the big guys,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right?
With the big guys, like Yardi, you know, like they innovate for sure. But like in terms of the resident app, they stopped, right? Mm-hmm. Pay rent, maintenance, that's it. And a lot of my customers, they want more than that. They want like a whole front end ecosystem. They want to manage their EV chargers. They don't want to have a separate app for that. And that's kind of like what guides us. We're very like, yes, mm-hmm. let's try to make it happen.
I love that. And to your point of yes, and what else can this do for, you know, other customers, or is it reasonable to, what are the resources required to make that happen? It's very compelling because for you, I mean, running a business, it's a feedback loop
yeah.
on what to prioritize and all that stuff. So it's pretty interesting. What if you're in front of your ideal customer, which by the way, who is that? Is that I see that you have a lot of positioning around luxury or yeah. class A, but take me through like, who do you want to spend time with?
For sure. So our marketing team did a really good job with our website because our goal was class A, you know, high-end properties, because that's the proper, you know, in the honest truth is like our platform has so many features that is our ideal customer, you know, customers that have 10, 20 different amenities to rent out and manage, and they need an efficient way to do it. You know, residents that have money that want to spend, you know, trade money for time.
Yes.
Right. So, you know, over the years, people, it's funny. I have a few clients that Section 8 housing, Class B, Class C, they use our app. They use our app for communication, maintenance, inspections. You know, we still have the services on. Is it spend as much as we get in a Class A building? No. But our app still works. And a lot of those customers, it's funny, that they one of them specifically, there was like 10,000 units. But they originally didn't reach out to us like a year and a half ago or mm-hmm. a year and a half before they finally reached out was because they thought we only do Class A. Right. They went on our website. They got scared off.
Right.
And I found this out later and I'm like, okay, well, we got to change our website. So we actually changed our website because it used to say like an ecosystem for modern Class A apartments.
Right.
And
right.
Now it just says apartments for modern apartments.
Right.
And, but yeah, that's like Class A definitely. Like, I think they would get the most out of our platform. Do I think, you know, affordable housing, Class C?
Well, you just look at amenities anyway, like in those buildings, they're just structured
yeah.
differently.
Yeah.
It's
almost like, you know, if we have, let's just call it, we have 100 features in a Class A building, they're going to use all 100 because they're going to need it like to run their back office and, mm-hmm. you know, not go insane versus like a, you know, Class C building, you might need 25 out of the 100, right? Mm-hmm. You might need a way to manage parking. You might need a way to, you know, manage.
But you still got the dog walking and these yeah, types of things, book, laundry.
Know,
and
people book. Like, I would say it's like, you know, you get probably 1/7 of the bookings in like a Class C, B building than you get. So 8 times more.
Do you think it has to do with the way the marketing's done at the property, or is it just that the customer expects different things?
I think the customer expects different things.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, there's people that book, you know, trainers in these buildings, again, affordable buildings. They book housekeeping, but it's a different type of customer. You know, they won't spend, you know, they won't like with PT, you could sell somebody 50 sessions for $5,000 and they'll pay it in full. In a mm-hmm. Class A building.
Sure.
You know, you got to do a payment plan at
right.
the, you know, more affordable building.
Sure.
You know, so it's monthly, they pay monthly or weekly, but they'll do the same amount.
Some flexibility.
Yeah. So there's just different, the demographics is a little bit different.
Yeah. It's like any business like yeah. that way. And so, look, you're doing some exciting things and I'm sure we could spend a lot more time. I am looking forward to what you're doing for our council. You're supporting the growth of what we're doing to bring multifamily owners and operators together. I'd love to bring you into a meeting and have you, because as we talk about these things, we just did a for innovation, what unlocked a lot of work at Intel and this other, we had a guest speaker in today. We're talking about yes and around how do you stack new ideas. And when in the development process, we shared that in an environment where, the conversation came from the movie Oppenheimer, where the scientists.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, with technology, developers build with other developers makes the thing better. Like you just keep stacking and improving on other developers' work to make an ecosystem of a great product. And so we talked a little bit about the challenges that are in place today with that environment, you know, because it isn't always we're building on top of other things. You've built this ecosystem in front of all that, so you can do that without even permission. You know, like you just we'll build the new, like, you know, you got the freeways, we'll just build another a highway over here, yeah. Prove it out, and people are like, hey, that's we're going faster over here, it's easier to roll stuff out. But this idea of collaboration really came forward, right? And like you've got collaborative services, you've got collaborative technologies. And there's a lot of really cool things coming together. I'd love to have you come in and
I was going to actually ask you because, you know, if I have customers that are interested in like the Innovation Council, like how would they?
Yeah. So, multifamilyinnovation.com is the platform. We have a link on there. It says council. You can click on that. But it's owners and operators, and we're bringing in partners like you. What we did, and this was a little bit like you in that, we didn't intend this. We just listened and we said, well, tell us more, you know? And the one thing was they have difficulty making, there's a lot of decisions to make. And then the priorities are different because of the interest rate environment, the turnover challenges with just all the existing things that happen just with that are not in their control, market conditions. And so it looks like, well, how do we solve the challenges that are going to make a difference in the business? So profitability, results, collaboration come to mind in these conversations. And so we basically roadmapped what are the 2024 challenges, right? And what are the opportunities we want to create? And so the goal is like at the Innovation Summit, in December, it's more like, here's what we did.
Got it.
Here's the problems we solved. And so today we were talking about when you have a problem in front of you, how do you make sure like all ideas are fostered and listened to and can be incorporated into the problem solving activity? That's what brought me to mind when you said the yes and conversation. But they would, you know, so then we rank them sort of like your roadmap. So it's the same thing, only now these are the things we talk about. So we don't just, we have a sponsor, let's come up with something to say. Like it's, identify the problems, what are the priorities to solve those problems, and then who out there is solving it? And that's why we're talking with you here, and we'll bring into the council to help get people to think differently.
It's interesting because you know, like I can't obviously solve all the problems for some of my customers, right? There's stuff that I don't like. There's some verticals I just don't play in, you know, and that's why I was wondering how would I get them involved? And I know they're going to be listening. So
the great news is. It's
need help solving problems. I can't be the only one.
Yeah. The purpose, like you mentioned, they would go to the website, click council, become a member. Okay. And then we have a whole onboarding process. We get to know their strengths, what they like to share, what they're seeking. And we have our own sort of process and intellectual design to help extract their knowledge and match it in alignment to it. People join, not companies. So you have like NAA and NMHC do great jobs, like at the property level with NAA, and you got the financial and NAA or NMHC has done some really great things around all the things that they do to, you know, regulation and all the stuff that's important transactionally to the business. So what we focus on is the target of innovation, technology, leadership, AI. Got right. So, and then it's not just tech. It's like, how do you as an individual move through this? How do you affect change with an individual? So then say yes to something or take get the support that they need, right? And right. there's a lot of resistance inside. Now, there's a lot of people that probably have conversations with you, but like get resistance.
Well, and me as a vendor, right? Like I told you how I started. Like I was an outsider. And I think, you know, the more operators and vendors come together and talk, you know, vendors don't know the problem, mm-hmm. right? So I think having these like meetups is a really good thing.
Yeah. And that's it. So when you come in, you'll get access to those things. It, and the nice thing is you can just kind of put there's no sales. It's like, what are we doing here? And how can we support people so they can walk into an organization, ask a better question, right? Open up a different dialogue that leads to a result, not just like right. we're just connecting. Because, you know, it's the in-person is just the we're just humans. We need to be connected. And you can do that once a year,
right?
You know, for the in-person event. But it's like, you can't go to one event a year. I don't care if it's CES, the best tech conference on the planet, and design a business. Like things move too fast. So that's the purpose is every Friday we're having these conversations. And the problems and the opportunities come from the community instead of, or the members instead of like what we want to talk about.
I love it.
Yeah. So yeah, I'd love to invite members in to experience that. And then also just want to thank you for, and we should celebrate the award that you won last year, the Bootstrapper. What was that like?
Oh, it was great. You know, all my clients, they keep tabs on what we're up to on LinkedIn.
Did they know that you were a Bootstrapper? Or
a good amount did, but some were like, oh, we had no idea, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, a lot of the times, like when you're talking about like big ownership groups, they always ask, are you funded? And, you know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, yes, it's a valid question. You know, when we're starting out, you don't know if we're going to exist.
Yeah. Right? But that could be a disadvantage in some cases.
And so I get it. Cause I always, like I said, I put myself in their shoes, right? They're big, you know, they have 80,000 units. They don't want to make the wrong decision. Right.
Right.
But you know, now when we're in 39 states, we're profitable. We've been doubling our revenue every year.
Yeah.
It shouldn't matter. In fact, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
It should be like a
really optionality.
Good, yeah. You know that, hey, these guys are not needing funding. They're not needing help. You know, they're in charge of their own, roadmap. You know, I'm not building a roadmap for one client who gave me all the funding.
Right. True.
It happens a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And it could be an illusion of success. Yeah. It could look like growth when in fact, you know, it's just, you know,
you're
piloting
one client who's, you know, who did your whole, you know, investment around it. And I see it all the time.
Yeah.
And I've been through it like, you know, since 2014, I've seen, you know, there's one business that was a housekeeping company and they raised $9 million. They don't exist. You know, mm-hmm. there was a few more like that. You know, there was a pet grooming company. They, I think $4 million, they went away. Yeah. So it's like over the years I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, absolutely. And that's why I wanted to on this time we spent together tie into like what values drive your decisions, what you focus on. You mentioned bringing in your team and of course the product focus around the solutions that really the customers are bringing to you in many cases. So that's always healthy to see in organizations. So
the better question though about the award is what award are we going to take home this year, right?
We'll see. Yeah.
I think we're going to have to go after the technology.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Tech one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you certainly have done a great job there. And look, anybody, I think it's important that you're doing the great things from a brand standpoint too, because people want to know who's behind the company they're working with more so than in the past, I think so.
Right. Well, thanks for having me, Patrick.
Yeah.
Pleasure. Great podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see you in the next one.
Yep.
All right. Thanks. Take care.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the Multifamily Innovation Show. For show notes and other resources, visit multifamilyinnovation.com.